that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one. Oh, yes, people. I am here alone. Cody, where are you? Oh, that's right. I know where you are. You're hanging out with your fucking friend, Big Lip McGrew, I guess, or whatever. Yeah, but whatever, people. Hey, I am here for you. Cody is on a nice, lovely vacation, as if, therefore, the phenomenal one is going to provide you with your daily, your daily entertainment of the day. I don't know. I'm lost right now, people. It's late. Well, technically, it's early. Early, late for me, I guess, in a way, because I ain't slept in the past 48 hours, so, you know, and I've been podcasting all my way through it. I've been a very fucking busy man, but I gotta say one more time, people, and I gotta say it, and I do it on a weekly basis every week, but welcome to Movie Spoils, episode 175! I'm your spoiler host with the most, the phenomenal one. And this is another milestone show for your spoiler host here. That's right, 175, my God. What is that, about 35 away from? No, that's not 35, you dumbass. Learn how to fucking do it. Why am I talking to myself? Alrighty then. It must be the alcohol. Get a swig of that real quick. Yeah, so close to the 200th show there, and I'm feeling excited. Whew. It's giving me the goosebumps, and as Cody would say, the electricity is flowing through my veins right now. But you know what? I'm going to try to make this show as action-packed as I can by myself. It's going to be very hard for one person to do it alone. But if one person's got to do it, then it might as well be the fucking phenomenal one. Your iconic spoiling host with the most. The phenomenal one. And like I said, got an action-packed show for you today. We got them shitloads of questions that I am going to answer due to your request. That's right, people. That's what I do. I guess I am Movie Spoilers God, if you will. I am one of the voice of the voiceless. I speak for the people out there in Movie Spoilers, the spoiling bastards out there. I speak for the spoiling bastards and the people in the world that cannot speak what they know is true in their little black hearts. But we got a shitload of questions, like I said. Got that box office talk. Where else we got? I guess this week we're going to have to switch it up there as we got P1's Blu-rays of the week. Better be some fucking good ones, because I don't really give a fuck, to be honest, about Blu-rays nowadays. Actually, I'm lying. I do. I will buy the shot of them. And then next thing you know, I don't even watch them. They just stay in their fucking cases and shit like that. And we got that trailer talk with a little movie about simple group growing up in the suburbs of Compton. And, that is my hometown. Yes, that's right, people. Yes, my hometown of Compton. You know, everybody, I feel that, you know, you finally made it when your city is finally getting a movie. And, this movie straight out of Compton is going to be forever ingrained in my memory. And I can't wait. Actually, I'm a little excited for it because I got my Compton t-shirt. Got my Compton beanie. I'm ready to walk up in there and show them that, you know, hey, we... I was about to say something I probably shouldn't say, but, you know, fuck it. I won't even cross that route, but I'm proud to be from Compton, and I'm about to be proud to even show that trailer. But the first thing we need to do, people, is we need to dwell or dive right into some of these questions right here, because I'm looking at one right now from last week's episode, and that's come from my homegirl, Holly. Holly, baby. She says, what do you guys think of Disney CEO saying they aren't sure how much Star Wars The Force Awakens will make? How much do you think it will make? I think why Disney CEO said that is because it's just unpredictable how much Star Wars can make. I know the fan base is huge, but maybe he's saying that from a point where he's saying, I don't know if people are tired of Star Wars, or they've been fed up with George Lucas for so long that because he ruined and fucked up that those prequels. And some would even say he ruined the original trilogy for him with those fucking special edition Blu-ray releases he kept releasing every goddamn 6 months or something like that, redubbing voices over and shit. That could be one point for him, he's saying. Or he's just saying that You know, I could have an estimate out there, but, you know, after seeing something like Jurassic Park, or Jurassic World for that matter, hit over $1 billion and become the third highest grossing film of all time, which who would have ever thought that? I mean, you know, $1 billion, yes, maybe, but becoming the third grossing highest film of all time, that's quite a fucking accomplishment. So he's probably looking in that vein that he's unsure of where it could hit. I'm pretty sure he thinks it's going to be a success, but he's not counting the numbers of what he could give, because that movie literally can be easily one of the highest gross, probably the highest grossing film of all time, or it could just be in the top five, or it could just be, you know, a hit in its own right with not even hitting $1 billion. I'm sure whatever they make, Disney's going to be happy with it, because I know it's going to bring in that bank for them, because them toys are going to sell like a motherfucker. Especially if you get that little condom wrap lightsaber that they got going on, or whatever, the triple dick lightsaber. Yeah, you put that out there, because I can tell you this right now, my little glass case here, I got a Darth Vader and Obi-Wan replica lightsaber, at least handle at least. I'm going to add that triple blade one there one of these days. Once I see that shit go up on sale online, yeah, that shit's getting added to the case easily. Because, yeah, you could stinger the fuck out of some chick with that thing. I mean, only thing it's missing is a fourth one, so that way you can at least rub the butthole just a little bit. But we'll talk about that a little bit later, people. You give me a call at moviesportspodcast@gmail.com, and I'll tell you all about that kind of stuff. Next question we got here is from Ryan. My man Ryan. I don't know why when I say that name, I think of one's the loneliest number. Ryan, you need to call me then. I want to hear from you, my man, because you sound lonely. I look lonely. Cody ain't here, hanging out with his buddy. You going to be my new buddy, Ryan? I feel it then. All right, all right, all right. But he says, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, people. It's a lack of sleep, I guess. But he says, hey, P1, new to the site here. Okay, see, I don't even know who the fuck you are then. And I really want to start my own website and podcast. What kind of work do you do in particular? Is it hard? And being the main host, do you find yourself doing more of the work? Thanks for the great show and keep up the great work. Ugh. No. Now, that's not to say that your question was boring there. I'm just tired of shit because of the lack of sleep. But anyway, well, that's how dedicated I am. My man Ryan. Let me just go in order to answer your question. What kind of work do I do in particular? Is it hard? And being the main host, do I find myself doing most of the work, more of the work? Is it hard? No. What you'll find about it, it's time-consuming. Very fucking time-consuming. Now, may not be as time-consuming for you because you're just getting started, and I don't know how many podcasts you plan on doing. You could be just doing one, but you're doing a website, so I would assume you're going to need some every other day, maybe every day. I don't know what you're doing here. Depends on the topics that you pick. But in order to generate enough traffic, you need to keep something ongoing. You need to try different ideas. You need to have probably different shows. And also depends on how many people are actually going to be on the site as well. If you are going to be the creator of the website and podcast, then most likely you should be the one handling everything. If you do have other hosts, it's fine to let them in on things and stuff like that. I think you make sure that, you know, it's people that you know that are, they'll bust their ass, because I'm pretty sure you guys are going to be doing this for free. So you need to make sure it's for people that's going to be busting their ass to, you know, at least take it serious enough to put out quality content for your site so you can make it a success. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be done in a couple of months. It's not going to be done in a year or two or not like that. You have to really bust your ass and get into it, unless you're just that good in marketing to where you can generate a high enough numbers in the first couple of months. I'm talking high numbers in the triple digit thousand areas and shit, and millions and stuff like that. If you can get that on a daily basis. But as the main host, do I find myself doing more of the work? Now, I would say yes. Obviously, I'm the one running the website. I'm the one with the credentials to get into the website and stuff. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, okay, basically, you know, I have Cody and Luke here. They're hosts. Z, he had his Throwback Tuesday. That's his only show, so it's nothing for him seeing how I fucking edit. Let's see, this past week I had 4 fucking reviews to edit. had a show to edit this one. So I would say I edited at least and put together about 5 to 6 shows on a weekly basis. Not even a week, maybe weekly or every other week basis. Not to mention I got to do sometimes the King's Fall stuff. It's not hard. It is just time consuming. What kind of work I do in particular? Well, I just talked about editing. That's one thing you'll have to worry about with these podcasts. You got to worry about, are you going to be doing this with Skype? What's another thing you want to do? If you're planning on making your site or podcast successful in a way, you have to learn how to market. And I'm not saying I'm a marketing genius or anything like that. My marketing skills, I guess if you will, come from, I was already popular beforehand. I'm not saying I was like huge popular, like people just drove out in miles to see me or anything like that, but I already had like somewhat of a name established in a community of films and stuff like that before I even got involved with doing my own podcast. So I was able to bring a lot of those people in that respected and adored or just had a good time talking to me over to listen to that stuff and for them to even spread the word and get to it. And then I've been doing it now fast forward, 5 or 6 years later, here we are today. You see this brand spanking website that was created back in 2013 when I got away from the fucking blogging and shit like that and the phone apps and shit. To now a studio with a bar, a long-ass desk with 4 screens I have to look out on a regular basis with a show almost every goddamn day. Yes. Wayne. Wayne probably would be second to me as probably doing most of the work as well. He does handle Not Worth Kicking the Ass, obviously, as far as the editing goes and posting it. Then he sends that over to me, and I take care of the rest as far as getting it on actual site and stuff. He does the same for Spoiling at the Movies as well. So that takes a huge fucking chunk off my shoulders not to have to do that, because Spoiling at the Movies, we record that on a day where I got like probably 3 other shows to do and editing as well. So and usually when we do it, we post it the next day. So that takes a huge leap off my shoulders when Wayne gets to do that shit, because goddamn, editing sometimes can be a long-ass process, especially if you're having some huge-ass Skype issues. It's not all bad. You just got to get into a rhythm of how to do it. I think I found a rhythm. I think I'm used to it now at this point. But another thing you have to do, start on your website, you got to find out how to put advertisements on there. You got to find a way to update those advertisements. You got to find a way to communicate with people outside of, I guess, your fan base or anything like that, or even just other podcasters or other things, just so you can somewhat build a respect in the community and build an audience in a different layer. I would even say sometimes you would need to study some other podcasts, learn their fan base, and hey, you know, maybe you can steal some of their fans, if you will, if you're covering the same topics. Another thing, too, is trying to find someone that will actually sponsor you. I think once you get enough numbers and you feel comfortable enough to, you know, throw out something there, then, you know, you can start talking to people about that kind of things. And usually some people are quick to jump on that as well to help you out. Another thing, too, is you got to find a way to interact with fans. One thing, because some people think that, oh, you know, he's a phenomenal, he don't have time to talk to me or anything like that. One thing I make it my goal to at least do is, fucking crazy as I'm busy, and I've even gotten iTunes reviews on these shows about that, is that the phenomenal one, no matter what you say, whether it could be hate, love, question, or anything like that, I am always going to respond. I used to be able to respond right away, but I'm getting piled up with messages and shit sometimes, so I can't respond right away. It might take me a couple hours. It actually take me longer or whatever, but I always make it my best bet to sit down at least once and get back to everyone's emails, messages, comments, or whatever it is that they have to say. So that, it may not seem like that's nothing, but it's to me it feels kind of important, because, you know, when you're asking a podcast host, especially someone that's handling like all the business side of things as well, and, you know, especially trying to get the merchandise going and like other stuff that I'm not going to talk about right now that I've been working on, because I want to kind of keep that a secret. You know, just branching off from merchandise and stuff like that. But also, you know, when you contact that person, you want to hear from them. You know, you contact them for a fucking reason. Nobody likes contacting someone and not getting a response from them. I don't give a fuck if it's a hey or anything like that. You know, it's not, I'm not going to say it's evil on their part or anything like that, but it's more of, you know, oh, man, it's a, I was expecting to talk to this guy, whether it was just like, hey, how's it going, or something like that. I mean, a lot of these hosts, whatever, say, oh, I hate answering those questions, because they, so, we get that question all the time, whatever. It's like, for me, I don't. I mean, I've probably answered most of these questions we get asked 100 times over before, but I have no problem answering anything, and I have no problem communicating with the fans or anything like that. And I love my Swollen Bastards, so, as crazy as fuck as they are, they might be even crazier than me. But, shoot me a message on Twitter, man. Orion, I want to hear from you, baby. Why do I sound like the big boss? I want to hear from you, baby. But, yeah, shoot me a Twitter message. MoviesFollowsPod. At MoviesFollowsPod. Or you can email me. Like I said, MoviesFollowsPodcast@gmail.com. And we can talk more about that, man. I want to hear from you. I want to hear how successful this thing becomes, so I can mooch off your ass and I don't have to do anything anymore. Got a reply to that. Calvin. He says, to add to that, I want to start a video game podcast show. But I'm not really a fan of Nintendo.
Well, who is?
Do you think I can do my show with only covering Xbox and Sony news? I don't want to just be a Sony or a Microsoft solo podcast, because I want to talk about all video games. But I could care less for Nintendo. What should I do, oh spoiling hosts? This comes from Calvin. Well, I gotta agree with you. I could give two shits about what Nintendo does, but I don't do a video game podcast, because if I did, I can say that I have a Wii, I have a Wii U, I have all consoles, actually. So it's in my convenience that I can do all those movie news, I mean, not movie, video game news and play. If I was doing playthroughs and video game reviews, that I could play on all three consoles and handhelds, including. I see where you're saying that you only play Xbox and Sony. I can say that, yes, you can do that on your own. But I would say that I would not do that if I were in your position, because, and the reason why I'm going to say this is because you could be alienating a huge fan base from the Nintendo base, which I'm pretty sure is big. And the thing is, Nintendo fans are probably the biggest fucking douchebags in all of console gaming. I mean, if you think Sony or Microsoft fans are douchebags to each other, Nintendo are the biggest jackasses. And I take it back, not jackasses, douchebags that you will ever meet. They will defend the fuck out of that with high praise all over. And I think that you would probably be alienating a whole huge fan base there just by not doing Nintendo. And like you said, I personally wouldn't do just a solo Xbox or PlayStation podcast if I were you, because both of those consoles as well have a huge fucking following to them and a fan base, and they're just as picky as one another as just Nintendo fans are. So I think you're alienating, once again, a huge fan base. You're not doing the Microsoft and Sony show, unless that's what you're calling it, but you're doing a video game show, and that would be, I don't want to say selfish, but it'd be pretty, I don't know, I'm sure there's a lot of things you could do with Nintendo in there, whether you like them or not. You just can't be biased against it, I guess, especially if you're just starting out doing this. You need to have all arms open. I mean, I guess the similarity I could use for that is horror films. I fucking hate them. I really fucking do. And people always say, why do you keep going and watch them? You really hate them and stuff like that. It's because I try to be open when I go see these films. And plus, they make funny-ass reviews, to be honest. I mean, that could be the same thing for you with this Nintendo shit. They probably make funny-ass reviews. Another thing is, I know that there is a horror fan base out there, and they need to hear what the fuck I got to say about these stupid-ass horror films. So, yeah, look at it that way, man. Don't look at it as, oh, it's a burden, or I just can't stand Nintendo or something like that. I don't think none of us can stand Nintendo nowadays, but they have a huge following. If you got a Nintendo Wii or a Wii U, I say pull that goddamn thing out, or even go buy one. You can buy a used one for dirt cheap nowadays, and get you a following there. You might even like them. You never know. I mean, those games aren't terribly bad on Nintendo. They're just generic in a way, I guess. But that's just me, and I'm kind of stupid, so. Where are we at? We're at Rodrigo. My man Rodrigo. Cody's BFF right here. Oh, you another one of his BFF. Oof. Stealing my friend away, you motherfuckers, y'all. But he says, Cody, you fucking traitor. That's about right. To Wayne and P1. Oh, Cody, you're a fucking traitor to Wayne and P1. Tommy is sometimes funny. Have you been smoking his stash? Fire it up, P1 and Wayne. Fire it up. You know what? Damn right, Rodrigo. Damn fucking right. Cody, what in the hell is wrong with you? You put a fucking dagger to my fucking heart when you said that. I had to look at your photo on the website and just stare at it as if that shit was that letter that Ben Affleck got. They saying you let your family die. That was pretty much me looking at you, whatever shit. I had this look on my face like, I don't know if I should beat you until you say something that I want to hear, or I should beat you until you just die into a bloody pulp and you never say anything stupid like that ever fucking again. Fuck, Cody, what was you thinking? You gotta stop drinking. Oh, and Wayne says, you tell him, Rodrigo, you tell him. Traitor, 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 traitor. Oh, man. So spoiling hosts here, people. Next one comes from Frank. He says, well, I think it's about that time to call it a quits for the 21 Jump Street series. He said, just got confirmed that Lord and Miller are only producing. Are you guys looking forward to this now? Nah. You know, we was a little jumpy about the second one. It's just like, I don't know if this is going to work out. That first one was lightning in a bottle. But the second one really worked because of Lord and Miller. Lord and Miller seemed to be taking anything that sounds stupid and making it work. But the third one, as much as I could see it going, especially with that ending of the second one, how they just showed how ridiculous this really can get, I think it without Lord and Miller, I really think it could lose whatever charm and, not motivation, but more of, what's the word I'm looking for? Momentum, if you will, if they don't have Lord and Miller really behind the director's seat, because that third one could easily be fucked up by going a little too stupid and over the top, which is, that's not a bad thing, but at the same time, the stupid and over top that Lord and Miller had done was actually kind of clever and smart in a way, and it was actually hilarious just from the reactions of the actors and what they were doing. You get any random-ass fucking directors with them only producing. They're probably only producing, too, because they got a busy-ass schedule we're working on, so. But, yeah, I gotta say, Sony has not been putting the 21 Jump Streets in the best of limelight with news lately as far as what they want to do with it, and I don't really know where Sony's going to go with that. It seems Sony is just trying to force this shit out, because right now that is probably their highest property, besides James Bond, of course, going outside, in, at least in the summer, from last year, 2012, but we'll see, man, we'll see. I don't have faith in Sony these days. Leia, James Wan just landed a new project, guys. Mortal Kombat reboot. You gotta be fucking kidding me. Is that confirmed, Leia? You sure? This guy is probably getting the most work out of any other director. P1, he's your boy, so why does he keep getting put on these projects? Because he's a fucking cheap bastard that can make a lot of money off some cheap shit. Jesus fucking Christ, man. Y'all don't have no hope in this fucking Mortal Kombat reboot, then. You're gonna get James Wan. And I know the reason why you're getting them. Oh, Furious 7 made, you know, the fourth highest grossing film of all time. Yeah, that ain't got shit to do with James Wan, okay? I'll tell you this right now. That guy is one of the most overrated fucking directors in Hollywood right now. He's fucking terrible. He makes these shitty-ass little horror films like Conjuring and Insidious and all this bullshit. And you people eat that shit up because for some reason you just like this supernatural, mysterious bullshit, which I think is just beyond dumb. And Furious 7 had some of the worst action scenes I've ever seen this year, by far. I mean, it's up there with Pixels in the action scenes, if you ask me. No, I'm not looking forward to this at all. James Wan just keeps somehow keep getting work, which that's not hard to understand because he's making money from him. So, I mean, he's yet to have a bomb. So, studios want him. He's hot. People like him. Critics even like him. So, except for me. But some people will call me a dumbass, so to each his own, I guess, whatever. Fuck James Wan, though, that's for damn sure. How the fuck do you pronounce your name, bro? Dongro. That boy's dong be growing, I guess. Yeah, it's fucking, is it a dick joke? What is it, a dick name or something like that? Let me get a sip of this Wawa real quick before I read your long-ass email. Yes. Oh, yeah. It's delicious, people. Got to keep my juices flowing. Got to keep the energy going. Got to keep that electricity and them goosebumps flowing. Finally. But, yes, people. Dongro. I'm probably fucking that up because, once again, I'm ignorant and don't have any culture background. People are like, didn't you go to Italy or something like that? Yeah, people I know. I didn't bring back a damn thing with me. But it says, hey, guys, I got a quick story about somewhat being peer pressured into not doing it. Oh, man. Don't be a leader. Be a follower. It's always better. It's easier that way. No, I'm fucking with you, man. Me and my friends are IPA beer drinkers, but I found myself drinking a Guinness Stout and didn't mind it. You didn't mind it. My friends end up giving me a whole heap of shit for it. People, if you know Guinness Stouts, I believe that is a domestic beer. Yes. Actually, no. That's an import, I think. Is it import or domestic? I can't. I don't fucking remember or whatever. No, it is import. Yeah, I know it fucking is. It's imported, yes. I'm almost 100% sure it's an import. It's imported. Okay, fuck it. Imported beer. That's what Guinness Stout is. That's a very fucking difference from IPA. IPA just tastes better, that's why. So he says, my friends have given me a whole heap of shit for it. Should I stop drinking Guinness now or try to ignore them? Also, do you have any alcohol snobs for friends? Cody, yeah. That's shit. If so, how would you handle this situation? I'm 22 and been a fan since I was 20. Keep up the awesome work, guys, and keep on spoiling. And God damn it, a dong, that's what I'm going to be doing, man. I'm going to be fucking... I wonder if this is the King of Dongocles from Raid Select. That'd be a fucking honor to have the dong himself here at Movie Spoilers Podcast Studios. Be a fucking huge honor, man. Please spread the word of the great dong, people. But anyway, you know what I say to this? Fuck your friends. There you go. That's why it's probably best not to have fucking friends, because they're a bunch of dumbasses sometimes. No, I'm just fucking with you. It's always great to have friends. Yeah, but I wasn't talking about that fuck your friends part. Yeah, fuck your friends, dude. Drink whatever the fuck you want to drink, okay? They're not buying it, and personally, it ain't none of their fucking business what you drink. Now, maybe you guys drink IPAs together, that's cool and shit like that. And this coming from me because I personally don't give a shit when no one drinks. I know I make those jokes about Budweiser and stuff like that, but if I got tons of friends that drink that shit. Matter of fact, one of my best friends drinks Coors the shit out of it, and I could give two shits about it. Shit, I got a bunch of Spanish friends that drinks fucking Spanish alcohol, beer at least. I could give two flying fucks. You know why? Because I drink every goddamn thing, except for domestic and imported beers. I don't really... Well, imported, may can get a little pass or whatever, but that's only if there's nothing else there and I want to drink it. But domestic, I don't fucking drink. And it's not because, oh, I do drink craft beer or anything like that. It's just because I just don't like the taste. The taste is nasty as shit to me. It's good to some people. Well, actually, a lot of people. They like it. They love it. Hey, go ahead and drink it. Be my fucking guest. I could give two shits about it. But I am not some fucking alcohol snob. I could give a shit. I drink it all. From vodka and cranberry to fucking scotch to whatever. Obviously, you know whiskey and scotch are my favorite. But I will have no problem drinking like mojitos and shit like that either, because they're fucking delicious. And as far as any alcohol snobs or friends, yeah, like I said, Cody, shit. Cody's the only motherfucker I have as a friend that does do that shit. So, but I've never drunk anything like that in front of them or whatever. But I don't drink it in general, because I drink a lot of. I usually only drink beer when I'm in-house. Unless I go to a brewery or something like that. And obviously, I'll drink beer or whatever stuff. I usually drink stronger alcohol when I go out. So, there's never... I don't like to get shit from any of my friends or anything like that. And personally, if I did, I could give two flying fucks about that either. Because you know why? Zero fucks are given when the phenomenal is in the house. Let's move on here now. And Dong Yi, to get that in your mindset, fuck your friends, dude. They ain't putting no fucking food on your goddamn table. The hell would they think? Why am I getting personal with this? Anyway, I got some comments and questions from my Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F review. Yes. That was a fun-ass movie, man. I haven't seen a good Dragon Ball Z movie in quite some time. Forgot I watched that Battle of Gods bullshit last year. Or the year before, whenever that shit came out. And the first one comes from my man Johnny. He says, shit. P1, I didn't know you were going to review this. Why didn't you know that, bitch? Yeah, bitch. I didn't know you were a DBZ fan. How long have you been a fan of the DBZ universe? Also, what did you think of the GT series? I actually didn't mind it that much and absolutely love Super Saiyan 4. Man, Johnny, you're getting a hold of yourself. You're getting way too ahead of yourself here. How can you ask me how long have I been a fan of DBZ universe and then expect me to know what the GT series was? I don't know what the shit that shit is, man. No, I'm just fucking with you. I do know what that is. I've been a DBZ fan since the beginning, dude. Since the Saiyan battles when Nappa and them came all the way to the end. I mean, and rightfully so. That animated has gotten much fucking better from the now. I was trying to rewatch that. I was like, wow, the animation looks like shit back in these days. But, and it just, for me, it just wasn't that epic when you couldn't turn Super Saiyan. I'm sorry, man. You know, just seeing that music kick in and I've always been a fan of Dragon Ball Z. I think that was probably the show that got me into anime for what I watch now. I watch quite a few animes and shit. I watch more anime than I do TV. So yeah, I've been a fan for a long time since I was a kid, man. Probably in middle school. Also, what I think of the GT series. I don't know if you can get to that. Next question. No, I'm just fucking with you. I'm with you, man. I didn't actually mind it that much. I love Super Saiyan 4, too. I love the transformation. I always loved all the transformations. I fucking hated the music in it. I didn't care for it at all. I was like, it didn't have that epic grand scale as the original Dragon Ball Z. But I'm not too familiar with the Dragon Ball Z, I guess, universe outside of the TV shows. But I heard that wasn't even canon to the whole Dragon Ball Z world. So I don't know how to feel, but... I absolutely love the ending of the GT series with Vegeta and Goku going up against the main dragon. I don't remember his fucking name and shit like that. That battle was fucking badass. It was badass as hell, but it wasn't as badass as one of my favorite ones, which I just kind of read the question here. And that comes from David Cliff. David Cliff, he asked, Frieza was easily one of the best DBZ villains. Which one was one of your favorite villains and series? And, you know, this goes back to you, Johnny. As much as I love Vegeta and Goku going Super Saiyan 4 to fight that dragon, whatever the fuck his name was, my favorite villain, I would have to say, it was Majin Buu and the Buu series. Man, I absolutely fucking love the Buu series. I watched the shit out of that. I remember I had that on my iPhone and my iPad back in the day when that first got released. The video of just... the whole fight scene between Goku and Vegeta versus Majin Buu, that shit was just phenomenally epic, especially against Kid Buu on the Kai planet. I love the shit out of that, man. See, as you can see, I'm a Dragon Ball Z nerd, if you will. But that fight was badass. Once again, like I said in this review, Goku fucking being dumb and once again going Super Saiyan 2 just so I can give Vegeta a chance. It's like, fuck all that bullshit. Go Super Saiyan 3 at the beginning. But when he turned Super Saiyan 3 on Buu, oh, that shit was badass, man. Easily one of the best transformations, period. Oh, when he transformed to Super Saiyan 3 against Buu, that was just awesome. You got Goten and Trunks introduced, the fusion into Super Saiyan 3. I mean, that's probably the last time we saw Gohan actually kick somebody's ass before he became this weak little bitch that he is now. Yeah, everything about the Buu series, I love, man. I watched the shit out of that. It's not to say I didn't love the Cell or Frieza. Frieza, I did like, but I would probably think that I like the Cell more, Cell Saga more than the Frieza Saga. And it's just because, though, I'm all fascinated with the whole Super Saiyan race here or whatever. And even though the Frieza Saga did get into whole the Planet Vegeta and stuff like that, the transformation, man. I gotta have the transformations in my Dragon Ball Z. I just got to. Even though Frieza was funny as shit, though, when he killed Krillin, he called said "Pop goes the Weasel." That shit had me laughing for days because I hated the fuck out of Krillin because Krillin was weak as hell. But now it seems like Gohan has replaced him, so I could hate Gohan now, just like the rest of the DBZ universe. Where are we at here? Okay, Sean the Sheep. This is the last question I got here, people. Comes from Christine. She says, I absolutely love this series, and I have Amazon Prime, but I must have missed the film. Oh, well, I definitely don't mind going to pay in theaters for this film. Thanks for the great positive review, TPO. So I guess that wasn't a question. It was more of a comment and a more of an appraisal comment, too. And I'm not so against those, neither, because I love those. I love to hear from you guys. I love to hear how great I am. I love to hear you guys tell me how great I am, because I'm an egotistical asshole just like that. But no, Christine, I absolutely adored this. Yeah, I'm telling you, it was on Prime for like probably a week, maybe even a month. Maybe I just didn't pay attention that month, but it was probably on there for like a week or two. Then they must have found out it was getting a bigger theater release than I guess what they thought it would be, so they took that shit off. Because especially when the money it made, which I'm not gonna even, I'll get into that when we get in the box. So the money it made overseas, they were like, "Yep, time to take this shit down." But I highly recommend you go check this out. If you got any kids, which I'm sure you don't, because a lovely lady like yourself probably couldn't put up with the little bastards. But if you do, yeah, take them with you. You'll have a good time. The jokes is funny, and look out for that crazy ass dog scene where they're in the prison. Oh, and by the way, stay during the credits too. Because they show you what that dog really is. And the funny thing is, he's not an actual crackhead, which I'm shocked by that. That dog looked like he had a taste of the red balls from the Chappelle Show skit. Oh, but people, you know what that time it is now. That time it is. This is the part where Cody would say, "Ooh, I hear the drip." No, you don't hear the drip, nigga. This is that part where the show where I got to talk about King's Fall A's M. I just looked on my Instagram account. That's right, people. I'm on Instagram nowadays too, and I see my another affiliate of King Fall, and he's put down. And speaking of Instagram, that's a badass fucking photo right here. Okay, well, either way, and you know, I looked at my boys over here at King's Fall AM, and it seems that they are continuing to climb those charts on iTunes. Not only are they in the new and noteworthy section, they're climbing up charts in the top 100. But they made it to the comedy section in the top 200, and they're at number 187. So you know what that means, people. You need to continue to head over to iTunes, and you need to go to King's Falls AM. You need to leave them 5-star reviews, or 5-star ratings, and then give them positive reviews to boost that way up into the sky. So therefore, you will be sending much more love to Movie Spoilers Podcast as well. Those guys at King Falls AM are fucking fantastic. And who knows, maybe the phenomenal one will be visiting King Falls around the end of the month. End of the year sometime. You never know. I mean, I hear it from when I listen to the shows, which I'm a big fan of Sammy and Ben. These guys are awesome, man. I mean, we don't get quality radio shows like this anymore. They convinced me probably, you know, to come on down to King Falls. And, you know, I deserve a vacation. I might just go check it out. King's Falls sounds like a lovely town, especially with that backwards-ass mayor they got working there. But Ben, hey, much love to you, man. I love you. But yeah, step people. So yeah, head over there to iTunes and give King's Falls AM, which is an affiliate of MoviesFallsPodcast.com. Go over there and send your love over them. Those guys are really kicking ass on iTunes, and I'm really proud of those guys, and I'm proud of us for fucking, proud of me for getting their ass on board on here. So, but yes. Yes, enough of that ass kissing, enough of that ass loving, much as I do love me some ass, I like booty, but it's time now, people, it is time for that Driss Private Garden box office talk, and this is that weekend box office talk, people, with the number 5 film, and I'm kicking it off with that Man of the Ant, number 5, he's been in there for about 4 or 5 weeks now, I can't remember. But he brought in about $7.8 million, number 5. And that's not bad for being in there for 4 or 5 weeks. This was on a budget, if I'm not mistaken, of $130 million. It made domestically $147 million, overseas $178.9 million, worldwide $326 million. I think by the time it's done, it'll make $200 million domestically. And clearly it'll get past $150 million. Domestically, overseas it'll hit $200 million, I mean, and domestically it'll hit over $150 million, which is fucking fantastic for this film. I thought it was a great Marvel film, pretty fun. I couldn't stand T.I. black ass, and he doesn't need to be in another fucking film ever again, but hopefully they learn their lessons and Marvel will read my letter and understand where I'm coming from with that. Number 4 film, dropping from number 2, very hard too, bringing in $9.1 million. Warner Brothers' Vacation /sequel/reboot. I forgot the budget on this film, but if I'm not mistaken, it was around the $60 million range, I believe so. Can't remember. I don't remember at all, actually, so I'm not even going to try to talk about it. But I'm sure it was about $60 million. But this movie brought in $37.3 million, which is not bad. clearly is about 20 million away. If it is 60 million, I could be fucking wrong, but I'm almost mistaken that 60 million away. Chevy Chase looks fucking terrible in this film, too, people. I'm looking at a photo right now. Dude's like, he looks like somebody's fat ass white KKK grandfather or something. Dude, Jesus Christ, what happened to you? Anyway, the drizzle's rapping, so I need to get to the number three film. Number three film was a new entry here, and it brought in $12 million. It's only a theater release of 1,648 theaters. Which I'm shocked we even got that, to be honest. That is The Gift. The Gift, man. The budget on that, this is a Blumhouse production. You know the budget on this was $0. So it was $5 million, and it brought in $12 million. Obviously, easy success for Blumhouse, because Blumhouse know how to make things cheap, and they know how to make it easy of making that money back. Like I said in the review, this is Blumhouse's second best film. Absolutely liked it a lot. I thought it could have been better what it was, but I liked it a lot still. That ending I thought was amazing. Joel Edgerton and Jason Bateman did a great job in this film, and obviously because they're two great actors. It's nice to see Jason Bateman in a fucking good film for once, because my God, dude, you've been slumming it for I don't know fucking how long. Yeah, you know, you've been slumming it since I saw fucking Identity. That's back in 2012, so yeah. Actually, well, no. Forgot, he did that movie Bad Words. I think that was his directorial debut, if I'm not mistaken, either. That was pretty cool. But the number two film, surprisingly, it's not number one. It is surprisingly because this is a superhero property, and I'm talking about that four. The four of Fantastic. You know it's bad when a movie like Ant-Man and Guardians of the fucking Galaxy do better than Fantastic Four. Fox, just let it go now at this point. Let it fucking go. Fantastic Four brought in $26.2 million after being released in 4,000 fucking theaters. The budget on this, my God, was about 121. Let me double check that. I am going to double check this, people. I believe it was 121. What the fuck? Why would it bring me here? Okay. Ooh, where are we at? Here we go. Okay, I don't think that. Yeah, this is just saying. Okay, fuck it. Man. It's $120 million. Fuck it. I don't give a shit anymore. Ooh. Good lord, this is terrible. I mean, this is really fucking bad for this film. Jesus Christ. This is a fucking bomb, actually, then. Because if you look at this, yep, it was $120 million. Alright, I'm looking at it now. Okay, maybe. Okay, no, it is a fucking bomb. Overseas, it only made $34.1 million. It made $26.2 worldwide, $60.3 million. That's a fucking bomb. $120 million, and overseas, it opened up with $34 million? That's fucking terrible. A lot of people are saying, is Fox gonna let this movie go because it bombed? And I'm here to tell you, hell no. Fox is gonna milk this goddamn thing for what it is. They're gonna make a sequel of this. If not, they're gonna do a crossover with the X-Men. They're gonna find some way to work it out. I know that they still gotta go through some legal tendencies with Marvel in order to do this crossover, which Marvel's probably gonna tell them, hell no, you can't do that crossover. But yeah, this is a failure. Wow. This is probably easily the biggest superhero failure we've seen in quite some time. That's a fucking terrible opening. Any other film would have been okay, but for a fucking big property like Fantastic Four, especially with the last two being stupid as fuck, and those still being a success in box office-wise, this one is just terrible. And I can tell you right now, Fox, after watching this movie, I personally don't want to see any more fucking Fantastic Four films. But I will give you some kind of leeway saying that I do believe you have potential of making the sequel better, because now you can get a director that actually gives a fuck on this. And plus, this movie was just some pile of dog shit anyway. I'm sorry, that Dr. Doom was fucking terrible. Fucking insulting, by the way. But anyway, people, the number one film, bringing in $29.4 million in the second weekend. That's Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Unlike that piece of shit called Fantastic Four, this one is actually doing pretty goddamn well. What was the budget on Mission Impossible, actually? The budget on this, which I'm looking it up now, it is, they did not put the budget on here, so I gotta go to moviesourcepodcast.com. The budget on that was $150. It's made domestically $108.6 million, and overseas $156.7 million, worldwide $265 million.
it's easily gonna make that budget back. I mean, it's already made it back worldwide, but domestically, I think it has no problem making it. I mean, next week it's gonna bring in another. What is it? It made 25. It's gonna make another 20 to 15 million here. So, yeah, it's gonna slowly make it back domestically, but overseas, it's made it back, and worldwide, it's made more than enough. I think they're happy with this success, especially with this summer being as huge as it's been with films and making shitload of money. I think this one has just came in the right spot, making that money. That is the top five, people, but there were some other films that came out too. A lot of limited release ones. And then this limited release one. Holy shit. Okay, never mind. This one, wow, this is a failure in overseas, but whatever. What I'm talking about here, people, Ricky and the Flash, number 7, brought in $7 million. And obviously, that was that Meryl Streep piece of shit. I'm sorry, I don't know the budget on this, but $7 million, I'm sure it probably didn't cost shit, but it's hard to tell with those kind of movies. I'm going to look up this next movie because I am actually curious. I don't even think it's on our site as far as what the budget on that was. And the budget on this, which I do not have. Alrighty then. Shaun the Sheep. That came in at number 11. But here's the thing about Shaun the Sheep. See, where Ricky and the Flash only got released in 1,000 theaters, which is pretty limited. Especially with a begged actor. Shaun the Sheep got released in 2,320 theaters. And coming in at number 11 with $4 million. That's pretty fucking bad. I mean, it made weekly since it opened out on a Wednesday, I believe. 5.5 million of them dangs. That's domestically. But here's the kicker, though. This is a British property, and like I said in the review, British properties tend to not very do well overseas, except that fucking Doctor Who bullshit. It made overseas $59.7 million, which is $65.2 million worldwide. Pretty fucking impressive. It's been released over there for a couple of months now, though. Like I said, it was on Amazon Prime back in, for me, at least in June or something like that, and I checked it out there. But, yep. Stop motion, just, it never seems to get the love it deserves. And, you know, it's a shame because I think this one easily is, I would damn near say it's probably the, I did enjoy that Dragon Ball Z film a little bit. I don't know. It's definitely one of the best films I saw this summer, though. I will give it that. Probably the best film of this weekend, too, at that. Shame is doing bad here, but Americans and British properties, it don't go together. Look at Dread. Look how that worked out. And that is your weekend box office, people. I'm looking at some numbers here. I'm trying to look at, you know, let me go ahead and look up some, let me look up Minions real quick. I want to check this out, see where that's at. It is at $912 million worldwide. Well, okay then. Well, it's not going to hit that billion, but that's pretty still good. It's still bringing in money, even coming in at number 6, so it's still going to probably bring in another $7 million next week and then another 3 after that. So it might just pass the second film that it did. And even though it's not going to get that, let me look at Pixels at number 9. Bringing in $5 million. The budget on that was 88. This made 57.6. 73.6 overseas as well. Worldwide 131. I don't know if they're considering that a bomb now. Actually, oh wait. Sony Columbia. Yeah, it's not. I forgot. Worldwide, they like those numbers. So, yeah, I think that's just fine then. Well, people, I'm on that 50-minute mark. You know, the show does go a lot longer when you have a co-host. You're interacting with people, getting something down. But when it's just me blazing through these, it just seems to go all natural, you know? You know what I'm saying? No, nobody knows what I'm saying. I'm a dumbass. But let's go ahead and get in some Blu-ray releases here. P1's Blu-rays releases of the week, if you will. And we had some gems last week, as I like to call pieces of shit. But we got a couple of things this week. And actually, we don't got a goddamn thing this week, to be honest. How the fuck is this? Yeah, we don't have a damn thing coming out this week. How the fuck is this just now barely coming out? I'm sorry, I'm looking way ahead, people, whatever. But, okay, so a lot of movies I ain't seen, never heard of. 5 to 7. I don't know what the fuck this is. A comedy, a romantic comedy film. Okay, great. Anton Yelchin's in it. Okay. Glenn Close. Never fucking heard of it. 67% on Rotten Tomatoes, people.
Go check that out. Cody missed a great week to miss then, to take his vacation, because there ain't a damn thing here to excite nobody. This movie, another 67%, the 100-year-old man who climbed out the window and disappeared. It's got an elephant on the cover, and it's directed by Felix Herngren. I have no idea what the fuck this movie is, people. I'm sorry. Next film we got here, another film. Nope, once again, I don't know what the fuck this is. The Riot Club, in parentheses, Posh. 65%, so I guess these are just generics. It's got Freddie Fox in it, Jessica Brown Finley, directed by Lone Schifer, Ben Ollie Alexander, Josh O'Connor, and a movie, Max Irons, Matthew Beard, Douglas Booth, okay, nobody gives a fuck. Why am I even saying this? And the last one, the big one, oh, man, oh. Oh, God. Now, this one, I do remember this little heartwarming piece of shit, if you will. Little boy. Yeah, it's about a boy that's pretty much doing anything he can to bring his dad back from World War II alive. Wow, talk about your pieces of shit. Wow. Way to end the Blu-ray releases here. That movie was an hour and 26 minutes. Well, I'll be goddamn. That movie felt like it was an hour and 50. It's got Emily Watson in it. It's got fucking Kevin James in this piece of shit, which is the reason why you can tell. Had Michael Rapaport, Ben Chaplin, fucking dude from Mortal Kombat. Goddamn, what was his name? Not Liu Kang, but whatever. The bad guy, I don't remember. Fuck, Ted Levine's in it. David Henry. Once again, fucking Kevin James. I fucking hate that guy with a passion. Yeah, Little Boy People was a piece of shit. Don't go watch this movie. And that came out in end of April, if I'm not mistaken. And that is your Blu-ray releases. So now you know what it's time for that now. It's time to get into some straight upcoming movie releases here. And you know I can't wait to talk about one. That is, first we got to get into limited releases, because there's a shitload of limited releases that's coming out. And I'm sure you guys are going to be excited. But you got your boy Idris Elba talking about them animals, rated G, doing that narration. And he's talking about the Enchanted Kingdom 3D. Talking about walking, it's like a BBC Earth film or something like that, you know? And what was that, Big Black Cock films or something like that? What kind of nasty shit is Idris Elba doing nowadays? Somebody just told me it's a British channel. Okay, all right, whatever. You sure that's not porn? Okay, whatever. I think it's porn. But I wouldn't be shocked if he did do it, though. Damn, there's a lot of fucking limited. I'm looking at this now, people. I'm just scrolling down. There's a lot of shit coming out. A lot of foreign, a lot of regulars. There's a ton of shit coming out. I'm trying to see what can make the list of what kind of blood cells. Muhammad Ali. Okay. Thought he was. Is he alive still? Okay. Where are we at? Okay, The Boy. It's got David Morrison, Rainn Wilson. Everybody knows I like Rainn Wilson, but I have. This is a horror film? Okay. Alright, I'm not going to see that shit because I could give a shit less. And there's a limited release that probably won't be released here even. But like I said, god damn, these... Okay, Exter. The hell is that? Final Girl, Abigail Breslin, Ludwig. But Exter, Stephen Lang and Kelly Blatt. What the fuck is this? Mystery horror film. All right, well, going to be getting away from that now because I don't give a shit about that. Maru. Fuck that film too then. Tom at the Farm. Xavier Dolan's in this film. All right. Another fucking mystery suspense film. What is the mystery suspense week? Well, I guess we are getting out of the summer and getting around to August time. So you got next film, People, Places, Thing. Got that Jermaine Clement and Regina Hall in it. I've heard some things about this film. A lot of mixed reactions. Directed by James Strauss and Jim Struess. Strauss as well. Them Strauss brothers. Who else is in this fucking movie? Okay, not a goddamn body. All right, yeah, I like to hear that then. Regina Hall, her fine ass. I've heard about this movie, too. Return to Cinder. Got our girl in there, Rosamund Pike. I heard she was terrible in this fucking film. Another mystery and suspense film, obviously. Rosamund Pike, Nick Nolte's in there, who can't stand a damn thing he says most of the time. So why wouldn't it be good? Maybe it's because one can't speak English, and sometimes Rosamund Pike's got this stupid look on her face. Where we at here? She's Funny That Way. Oh, great. Oh, Imogene Poots. Oh, my girl. I love that girl. Imogene Poots, Owen Wilson. Who the fuck thought that'd be a good idea? Katherine Hine, Reese Ifans, or whatever the fuck you pronounce, Will Forte, Richard Lewis, Jennifer Aniston. This is a terrible fucking cast right here. Good lord. Shit. God damn, this is a terrible cast. I mean, yeah, I mean, Reese Ifans, of course, because, you know, however the fuck you pronounce the name. I mean, that was Voldemort, you know, and he was in, that's M now. He was in Skyfall, that's for damn sure. He was an amazing Spider-Man. He was Kirk Connors. That was Reese Ifans. All right, well, I guess I didn't pay attention because I didn't really give a fuck about that Spider-Man film either, but she's funny that way. And it's got a 36%. No kidding, right? Got the collective of some of the worst actors. No, I'm just fucking. Imogene Poots is fine. Reese Ifans is fine. Everybody else is fucking terrible. The next film, though, another limited release we got here is Underdogs. Underdogs. And this is that animated art house film from that Academy Award winning director, Juan Campanella. It's got Pablo Rago in here, Miguel Angel Rodriguez. This film has been getting some very mixed reactions on it, and some of it is getting lower and lower, so I was actually looking forward to seeing this film this summer. And judging from what people have been telling me, it seems like it's quite a shame, because this guy, I think, Juan Jose Campanella, that director, I think he's fucking pretty awesome, actually. He did a film called The Secret in Their Eyes, which is a really good film. I'm trying to think what else he did. If I'm not mistaken, he did Son of Bride or something like that. And no, I'm not talking about that bullshit-ass... who the fuck was in that? I don't remember who was in it, but whatever. Steve Martin. Yeah, there you go. Steve Martin. I'm not talking about that bullshit or anything like that. These are all foreign films, too, people. But yeah, he did. He's doing Underdogs, and that's not tracking too well. So maybe I'll go see it. Maybe I won't. I'm going to try to check out how many theaters is being released in. Maybe if I get a screen for it. If I'm not, then if it's close by, maybe I'll fucking check it out. Probably not, though. But yeah, I don't even see it on my list now for my... Yeah, I don't see it nowhere near on my RSVPs. Nope. So, you know what? Time to get into the next film with people, and that is The Man from U.N.C.L.E. We just got done with... we had Spy a couple of months ago. We had Mission Impossible about 2 weeks ago. Now we're ready to move on to Warner Brothers' spy thriller here. And that's The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which I gotta say, the trailer looks like they kick ass. I'm actually looking forward to this. The only problem I have is Henry Cavill and Armie Hammer. How the fuck are you gonna tell those two apart? Oh, Hugh Grant's in this. All right. Tom Cruise is in this. Okay, this must be a mistake. He can't be in that. Okay, well, hey, fuck it. I'm even more interested in this film now. All right, then. So, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., but let's get into the movie based on my hometown. My hometown, P1's hometown, which is tracking very fucking well with reviews right about now from F. Gary Gray. He's bringing us The Untold Story, straight out of Compton, straight out of motherfucking Compton, people. And you know, I'm just going to go ahead and play the trailer, and so you can know, and we can talk about this now.
I heard you've been spending a lot of time at your auntie's house. How's the couch life?
Got my woman and my baby living there. It's hard, man. But you know.
So see it already, goddammit. You just gotta bring up Compton and I'm fine with it. I saw that street, that's Greenleaf.
Everybody can't do what you do.
Really, what I do is get played out, Dre.
Where the money at?
Why you gotta be so ruthless, cuz?
I'll make a few changes.
Where you think you're going?
I'm just trying to get home.
That's my son.
You need to get back in the house or I will ruin your life. Okay. I gotta talk to my moms like that.
You got to change. Change the situation. Would you take it?
Just hit that first beat hard. All right, you cruising down the street.
All right.
Cruising down the street in my 6-4.
Hey, that was dope,
B. Okay, I ain't gonna lie. That wasn't that goddamn dope, y'all. Come on.
Compton's very own Ice Cube, Eazy-E, and Dr. Dre. I gotta tell you, you are witnessing history.
People are staring at you guys. You have a unique voice. The world needs to hear.
They going NWA?
Let's kill them in WA.
And I got something to say.
This is only the tip of the iceberg, gentlemen.
What's going on? What do you have in that bag?
Are you kidding me?
You can't take that in a bus.
I wonder if that really is Ice Cube's son rapping, or is that just a tape with Ice Cube's son's lip syncing or something like that? Because damn, that sounds just like fucking Ice Cube too.
Art is a reflection of our reality.
You guys supposed to be somewhere?
These are artists.
Rap is not an art.
You cannot come down here and harass my clients because of what they look like.
You know, Paul Giamatti says some shit, he means it.
I don't know anything about hip-hop, but I know that you're special.
You want to be involved with this gangster life? Here we go.
Speaking the truth and people lose their mind.
This isn't the Crips and Bloods. This is a threat from the federal government.
They're trying to tell us what we can't play. This man driving you up.
Yo, Dre.
What up?
I got something to say. Okay, nigga, you just a rapper. You ain't taking over the world now. Shit. I'm coming straight out of Compton. I'm sorry, that song gets me high to where I ain't gonna lie. I've been playing the fuck out of that. Okay. Fan of NWA. Huge fan of Ice Cube and Dr. Dre. Like Eazy-E. I damn near say NWA was actually one of my favorite groups growing up, obviously, you know, for the simple fact of the city I grew up in as well. I gotta say, I'm looking forward to this film. I'm hearing some great things about it, and it's gonna be nice to see some landmarks in my city of where certain things happen, where I can see probably, I know it's gonna be a nostalgic film for me, because, you know, I've heard so many stories of what happened here and there, and I grew up in an area of Compton where predominantly a lot of these the rappers and some of the athletes I grew up in and stuff, so, you know, I can recognize streets and stuff like that. I think it's gonna be fucking awesome. This whole, though, oh, you know, oh, yeah, we could take over the world, it's just like, okay, you can cut that shit out now. You a fucking rapper, okay? They ain't taking over no goddamn world now. Let's be real. Yeah, you gonna take over the rap world, maybe, shit, for about 5 years until you motherfuckers vanish and then someone else replaces your ass. And, yeah, but I'm also interested to see the cameos, because if you've seen this trailer, you see a video, shot of Eazy-E with Suge Knight. Maybe Suge Knight ran Eazy-E over, that's how he died, really. But, yeah, looking forward to this film, I must say. That and Man from U.N.C.L.E., so hopefully I get another great weekend like I've had this week, this past weekend, so. But people, that's the end of the show, and I got something to say. Nah, I'm just fucking with you. But, if you need to tell me what you feel and how you feel about the city of Compton, or if you got your questions and stuff like that, then you can go ahead and tweet me at Movie Spoiler Pod. I am one of the voice of the voiceless, and I'm over there sending you all your best wishes of how to tell someone to go fuck themselves. But if you need to tell me that in a longer detail, you can also find me on Google Plus. That's right, find me there. It's not as hard as Cody makes it out to seem. You just gotta put the work in and find it out. Because people come to me now on Google Plus. I've already laid down the platform. They come to me. You can find me there at MovieSpoilers_TPO. Or, you know what, if you're on YouTube and you're logged in because you want to watch those parental advisory videos or something like that, or the Red Band trailers and shit, you don't even have to do that. All you got to do is click on that plus sign on your right-hand corner, bitch, and then you can circle me, bitch. I'll be right there waiting for you. And then you can go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube page or whatever. You don't have to. I don't really give a fuck about you, and I'm just fucking with you. I do. But check us out there. Also, go ahead and follow me on Instagram. That's right, I'm on that Instagram, posting all my photos and my drinking habits, sometimes podcast news, and sometimes new photos and stuff like that of me just doing dumb shit. And you can follow me there at Phenomenal01. That's at Phenomenal01. I'm there all day, every day. I want to talk to you. You want to talk to me. Of course you want to talk to me. Look at me. I'm pretty. But if you want to find Cody, you can do so on the Facebook. He's the one looking into your soul. And then he's at Cody Williams. He's easy to find there. If you want to find him on Google Plus, he's still having trouble to get through that maze because he's been calling Dylan O'Brien. I've been telling him, stop calling Dylan. Dylan's busy right now. He's got a huge movie coming out in September. He ain't got time for your shit, Cody. You don't have time for Jewish people right now. But you can do that. You can find him there at Cody W. Cody Williams as well. Or you can follow him at Twitter. At Cody W. That's a capital K, capital W. And don't forget the H, the O, the D. Excuse me. Hold on. Here we go. And the Y. That's right. And also don't forget to follow Cody on JewishFriendFinder.com/CodyW. That's the K, capital W. Don't forget the H, the O, the D. Once again, and the Y. And just find him on any one of those. Four choices, you only got to pick one. I don't care if you pick all of them. He don't even care if you pick all of them. He just want to talk to you. And he wants you to talk to them. So choose one. Shalom, bitches. But anyway, people, that is the end of the show. That has been a great show. I had a good time with you. I hope you enjoyed just hearing my voice, my lovely crackheaded ass voice, for the past hour and 10 minutes that you've probably been with me now. We do hope you enjoyed this show, and we do hope you come back for next week's show, where Cody will be back from vacation, and I'm going to give him shit for being finding him a new friend with that ignorant black tar-painted ass coon. But like I said, people, the end of the show here. Hope this has been Movie Spoils episode 175. I will be back next week with episode 176. I'm your spoiling host with the most, the iconic, the phenomenal one. And I am signing off. So as my co-host with that fire in his chest and electricity in his veins, Cody, would say, later, you beautiful bastards.